Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Monday, February 15th, 2021. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota. And Keith, we come back to you on this Monday heading into the week right after Valentine's Day with a long interview with the head coach of Maryland football, Mike Locksley. And obviously, we have Coach Locksley on. We always talk football. We always have, you know, the football talk. And right now, there's a lot of it coming off a great recruiting class. He's going into a big spring as his program tries to take that next step in year three. And we got into a lot of that with Coach Locksley. But the piece that came out last week that you can see on YouTube, Facebook, umterps.com, Maryland's Twitter, Game Changers, just showed another side of Coach Locksley that I think we all kind of know, and the story of him and his wife and his son that unfortunately passed away, Miko, but is one you have to watch. You simply have to watch it. And, you know, I got into the sort of the mental health aspects of that with Coach Locks and why he's focused on that. But to get the real gist of that, you've got to go on Terrapin Club Plus and watch these pieces right now, available to everybody, Keith. It's a heartbreaking one. It'll bring a tear to your eye. So make sure you're in a state of mind to watch it. But incredible for Coach Locksley and his wife Kia telling that story and shows how much Coach Locksley cares about this issue of mental health and why he cares about it so much.
Yeah, heartbreaking is right. And I mean, just the strength to be able to talk about something like that, you know, shoot, man, like you've never really experienced, you know, real heartbreak or real loss in your life, you know, to that level. I mean, few people have, and you hope you never have to. But for Coach Locksley and his wife, Kia, to be able to show the strength to talk about that and you know, use Miko's unfortunate passing as a way to start these conversations about mental health, which, you know, it can be tough sometimes in a very, you know, macho sport like football, right? You know, it's a hard thing to bring up and a hard thing to talk about. But, you know, he's made it a pillar and a cornerstone of his program, you know, to make it a place where, hey, you can have these hard conversations. You can talk about things when they aren't going great. I think it's going to be a great starting point, you know, for everything when he's, you know, grooming these young guys to, you know, take on the next challenges in life, you know, beyond football. Is having that free and open space to be able to communicate things and talk about tough issues like this. So, you know, they get into that obviously all in the piece, but you know, it's just a really, really special, you know, video that we were able to put together.
Yeah, it was great to get the opportunity to expand with Coach Locksley on, you know, his interest in mental health and all of it. But as you said, Keith, to truly get an understanding of the breadth of it, you've got to watch this piece. I was happy to be able to talk to Coach Locksley about it, but the piece is kind of what tells the story. But this gives you a nice sort of companion interview to kind of go back and realize, you know, Coach Locksley reflecting on his interest in the issue. And as you said, Keith, in a sport like football, you know, there's so much talk about toughness and not letting anything get to you and grit and all that stuff. And that's all fine. I mean, that you got to be a tough person to play football when you're out there on the field, but you also can be vulnerable off it and also can talk about issues off it. You know, we've seen our football players do an amazing job, really all of our student athletes, but we're talking football here, you know, use their platform to talk about issues over the last, you know, 9 to 12 months. You know, I saw our guy Brian Cobbs the other day at Cole, and he comes to mind as someone that's really done a great job. But Mike Locksley's not just interested in talking about it outwardly, you know, using the platform to you know, put light on issues. He wants to have these conversations among his players so they can have the understanding that it's, you know, for lack of a better phrase, it's okay not to be okay. And I think that's something that doesn't permeate the football culture enough and has caused issues, I think, within the sport of football and within sports in general. And make sure to go to our umterps.com Terps Talk section. There's too many T's. And check out the mental health resources they have. We've done some YouTube videos with Dr. Michelle Garvin, our head of sports psychology, with a variety of different people. Some great stuff coming out about that. Shout out to our guy, Jordan Luby, who's taken a big role in that. And then as we head into the interview, we have to give a shout out before we get into our head of video, Mike Farrell, who put a lot of this video together. It's an incredibly impactful piece. And one he should be very proud of. So shout out to him and the rest of his team who continue to put our Terrapin Club Plus shows together. Tony Price, Josh Clayton, Haley Timpley, Alex Gross, Thomas Mason, Jared Bellman, Jonah Haas, and John Barton. Shout out to our video staff because they continue to create incredible content. And with that, we go to our interview. Mental health, and then we get into a little foot of football too. Coach Loxley's got some stuff to talk about. So let's get into our interview with the head coach of Maryland football, Mike Loxley. For nearly 75 years, the Terrapin Club has been the foundation for the student athletes, coaches, and staff of Maryland Athletics. And now, Maryland Athletics is proud to announce Terrapin Club Reinvented. Terrapin Club Reinvented offers three new features exclusively for our Terrapin Club members: Terrapin Club Plus, One Maryland Magazine, and the Terrapin Club Backstage Pass. These new benefits will provide members with exclusive content and behind-the-scenes experiences unparalleled in collegiate athletics. To learn more, visit terrapinclub.com or call 301-314-7020. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with the head coach of the Maryland football team, Michael Loxley. Coach, always great to have you on the show. Normally, me and Keith bring you on and talk all football to start, but some important other initiatives that you have going on right now. I'm going to start with your focus on mental health. A Terrapin Club Plus show is going to be released about sort of your focus on that, both with your family and with the team. Give the listeners and Maryland fans just some context around your interest in that specific subject and making sure that there's more awareness about it, both in football and just the world in general.
Yeah, obviously, my story, raising a child and having a child that dealt with mental health issues. My son, Miko, who was killed in 2017, really struggled, from the age of 21 on till his passing, with mental health, illnesses. And, as a parent, our first time dealing with it, not really being educated and having a lot of information or tools to utilize, it forced us to do research on it. And we were very fortunate that we were able to educate ourselves as parents and as a family to find a way to support Miko. And so having witnessed what he went through as my son, and then thinking back on my coaching career, the number of players that I've coached or dealt with over a 30-year career, and I saw signs of guys that may have had, whether it's depression or mental health illnesses, that it really dawned on me after dealing with Miko that there's so much more that I could do as a coach. I always talk about making and helping people become the best version of themselves, where I deal with a lot of players that come in with all types of traumas and issues and stuff, as I like to call it, that maybe we need to do a better job as a community here on campus to give them the support they need to overcome some of this stuff if possible.
What was that education process like for you, not only to learn, what your son was dealing with, but now where you essentially have, 95 to 100 sons that you come in with every day, trying to learn about all the specific intricacies of something that really everyone deals with, whether themselves or somebody that they know?
Yeah, just about every family has someone, or every person in our program or that I come across has someone in their family that deals with mental health issues, whether, like I said, it's something as small as depression, which isn't small, but something like depression or some of the more intense illnesses that come along with it. And for me, it started with, just my wife and I became members of NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness Organization, which has so many different areas of information that allowed us, and then we became members and joined some of the local chapter meetings here and to hear the stories of how parents and siblings and families were able to navigate mental illness. It was a godsend for us to be able to have that information. And again, being new to it and not really knowing. And then, as I said, it made me kind of reflect back on earlier in my coaching career and having players that maybe dealt with depression or maybe dealt with mental illnesses that I didn't know or didn't pick up on. And now I'm very aware as a head coach, and I'm outspoken about it with my team that it's okay if you're struggling mentally and you need to talk to somebody. It's not about being a tough guy. It's not about being this big, strong guy. It doesn't make you weak. And so, you know, we've taken some of the language that allows our players to have a comfortability factor to reach out and utilize the tools that, and we're very fortunate here in the athletic department that Damon Evans and all the administrators here strongly believe in supporting our players and putting resources into the mental health of our student athletes. And so it's about talking about it and making it okay and making it cool to discuss and be open about it.
This is exactly my next question. You exist in a sport where there's really a stigma against talking about those types of things. You've got to be the toughest guy. You've got to not let anything affect you. Have you been able to see both your players and your staff kind of learn and break down those walls to where you guys feel comfortable having those discussions in an environment where, you know, you're trying to make sure nothing affects you on the field, but in reality, you know, those 60 minutes aren't the only parts of your life. How have those conversations been as you guys have tried to, you know, go through this process in concert with everything the athletic department does?
They've been very open and honest. We played a football game against Minnesota my first year here, where Rachel Barbeau, who we had come speak to our team, and she uses the reference, take the mask off for our players, that it's okay to unmask your feelings and be okay with it. You know, our players have been very receptive to the conversations and to the dialogue. You know, we created a program here that we call the three H's, where we basically ask every player and staff member to get in front of the team and talk about the three H's, the highlight of their lives, who the hero is, and what hardships they faced. And again, it creates an open dialogue for us to get to know each other intimately, because the more you know about a person, the easier it is to fight next to him and go out and compete hard for him. And so just all these different exercises and then all the resources that we provide from a programming standpoint and making it known to our players that we have these resources to maybe help them through some of their mental health struggles.
Throughout the last, you know, 9 months to a year, there have been so many issues that, you know, people in athletics have been outspoken about, and you and your program have really been at the forefront of a lot of those mental health, some of the racial justice, and your players have taken on that mantle individually. How important do you feel like it is for you to be able to empower your guys, you know, with sort of your leadership on some of the stuff as well, to be able to speak about the things and break down the walls on things that are so important for us really as a society to talk about?
Well, I think that's about the overall development of the players that are within my program. We always talk about having them leave the University of Maryland and our football program a better version of themselves. And you do that by empowering them, by teaching them to educate themselves and the proper way to use the platforms that they've earned the right to have being student athletes here on campus. And so, you know, one of the things we always talk about is it's all about being solution based and not problem based. And anytime there's issues within our team or within our community or our society, and we need to have a conversation about, the first thing I say is, okay, what can we do to improve it? We all know the problem. And so many times you spend more time on what the problem is and not solutions for the problem. And, you know, being in college, I think it's important that they develop solution-based mentality that let's find ways to make this place better and leave it better than what it was when I came. So that's been kind of the philosophy. Our players have embraced it in all the different aspects, whether it's the social injustice, whether it's been mental health issues, whether it's been just life in general. Our players have been really strong and passionate about educating themselves and being more solution-based than just, again, adding or talking about what the problem is.
you're at the forefront of those solutions in terms of trying to promote minority coaches. You form the National Coalition of Minority Football Coaches in August. What's the progress of that like now? Obviously, you have a whole season you're trying to work through, and it was a season unlike any other. But now that you're kind of post that, how have you seen that organization improve? And do you feel like you're starting to make some progress on that early on?
Yeah, you know, we're a young organization that we unveiled in August before the start of the season. And obviously my number one job, first and foremost, is to coach and lead the Maryland football program. But as I've always taught our kids in our program and my kids that I've raised, again, I want to do what I can to help make it a little easier for the next generation of coaches coming through the ranks. And so I'm at a place that I've always coveted. I have the great support of Damon Evans, my athletic director, and Daryl Pines, President Pines, our leader here on campus, and have been very supportive of it. But as I like to say, you know, my give a crap meter is on E. I want to do what I can to see if to create processes, and as I like to say, prepare, promote, and produce, you know, the next level or wave of minority coaches coming through the ranks. And again, it's a passion of mine because I've been afforded an opportunity that a lot of guys don't get. And I wanted to just do my part to say, maybe pay things forward, because I had a lot of people that played major role in me getting back to this chair that, like I said, I always coveted it. And they gave me a blueprint on how to do it. And so now all I want to do through the coalition is utilize the Rolodex of powerful people in this business, in the football business, to maybe help create some solutions as to why we have so few minority coaches that represent us in the field that we're in.
You've talked so much about, you know, providing mentors for your players through the program. And obviously this coalition will play a part in that. And you talk about Damon Evans and Daryl Pines, obviously that much bandied about note, an African-American football coach, university president, and athletic director. You know, that's a nice thing for people to see on Twitter, but also how important is that representation for young people like your players to see, you know, that those positions can be attained by, you know, people that are minorities that maybe aren't afforded the opportunities that you've now been afforded?
Well, I think it's great because I think if you see it, then that means you can achieve it. And what a better place to do it than right here in the DMV, which, you know, this area is the richest minority area in the country. And so I think what you see through our leadership of me as the football coach, Damon as the athletic director, and Daryl Pines as our president, is that it's reflective of what this DMV community is all about. You know, Prince George's County is the richest minority county in the country. The DMV in general, a very welcoming, very diverse community. And so I think it's only reflective to see, you know, what we're doing here, but then I also look across the bridge and, you know, the Washington football team and what they've been able to do as well is reflective of what this area is all about, which is diversity and embracing it while also showing that, you know, we do have successful minorities that have the ability to lead. And it sets a great example for the kids and the people that are growing up in this area, not just here, but nationally, that we do have the qualifications and are able to lead organizations and programs.
On the football field, I love whenever since you've gotten here, you're always transparent in terms of where your program is in the process of building that program. Now, as you sit, you had some awesome highs on the field, wins over Penn State and Minnesota. I'm sure some ones you would have wanted against Rutgers at home to finish the season. Where do you now assess heading into another season of spring ball coming off of, you know, a season no one could have predicted in terms of where that program is from a building perspective?
Yeah, this is the season of no excuses. You know, I feel like the heavy lifting for the most part has been done. Now it's time to reap the benefits of all the hard work that these players and our supporters and our administration and our coaches and staff have all put into it. And again, I think it's time for us to become a bowl eligible team. I think it's time for us to, you know, go out and not talk about, you know, potential, but let's go out and, you know, not necessarily prove other people wrong about Maryland football, but to prove ourselves right that we are a really good team. And I saw signs of it last season. I think our players, after meeting with each and every one of them individually, they feel the trajectory of our team, the culture, is really kind of has set itself, and that now it's time for us to have no excuses, go out, play disciplined football, and find a way to become a bowl eligible team and take the next step. That's always what it's about, building on what we've done the year before, taking the next step.
You've spoken so much about that program culture, getting that to the point, you know, that where you want it to be. In terms of how your players and staff responded to such an unpredictable year and individual moments on the field, coming back to beat Minnesota, going into a place like Penn State and winning there, which has really never been done in Maryland history. Do you feel like that culture is building to the spot you want it to be, based on, you know, a team with the worst culture maybe crumbles in a COVID season like you guys went through? How do you think that helped you assess that specific subject?
Yeah, I think anytime you face adversity and you respond to it the right way, which our players did, as I said, these guys have sacrificed so much last season. And though we were only able to get 5 games in, the amount of practice and sacrifice that they made moving into the hotel and not seeing their families for months at a time, there's no doubt the culture is set, because each and every player made the decision, because they had opportunity to opt out of doing it. And they each made a decision that they wanted to do whatever it took. And we knew that the uncertainty with COVID, and every day was a new day for us. And we had to kind of, you know, take each and every day as if it's a single entity, and that wake up the next day and attack that day. That's who we need to be as a program. We need to be a program that every day maximizes each and every opportunity that we're given. And I saw our team try to do that. I think the missing piece for us, and I keep saying it, is to do it with the discipline it entails, making the right decisions, and again, doing what we just say, make it simple, do what's right. And I see us with having a bunch of guys that have made the decision to do what's right. And as we move into the 21 season and our preparation for it, I'm excited about the direction that the program's headed.
Obviously, everyone loves to talk to you when you have new pieces about a recruiting class. You guys bring in a top 20 class, an awesome job by you and your staff. How excited should Maryland fans be about this new group of guys you bring in, really heavy on that defensive side of the ball, which in the Big Ten, you obviously need those guys up front to get it done. How do you see this class factoring into next year's team?
Yeah, the good thing is that we always look at recruiting as being able to improve our team, and defensively, you know, you win championships by playing good defense. And, you know, we've been able to fill some needs we had in our front 7 of our defense. I thought last year you saw the improvement on the back end with our corners and our safeties that all played really well for us. I thought our offensive line was the most improved position group on our team. And again, we played a lot of young players over the last couple of years that are now have become seasoned vets. Adding the talent we've been able to add just really shows you the power of the brand that Maryland has to offer, whether it's the local players that we, you know, feel strong about keeping a stranglehold on, not allowing our top local players to leave the area, but then also showing that, you know, when we do have a national brand that allows us to go into places like Florida and Georgia and some of the other places we've gone to recruit high caliber players. And again, we have a great product to sell, being located where we are, with the type of academics that we offer, with the type of facilities that we now have. There's no reason that we shouldn't be able to recruit at the level that we've shown we've been able to do with the class we just signed.
Coach, I'll get you out of here on 2 more. First, spring ball now coming up soon on us here. What's that going to look like for you guys? You have all the players back now, workouts starting. You know, what kind of progress do you want to see? And how different is this spring football season going to be compared to what you guys have had in the past?
Yeah, that's the unknown, because we still are in a pandemic. We still are dealing with navigating COVID. I think as a program, we have a better feel for how to navigate it because of what we went through. You know, we were kind of the guinea pigs for the processes that we utilize now. And obviously we struggled with it. And when you go back and you look at how we missed, you know, quite a few games and opportunities, I think we'll be better for it looking back to say, these are the things we need to do to ensure the player safety and our ability to go out, practice, and go through spring ball in a healthy manner. Spring ball is, again, where you continue to implement your schemes. As with every part of our program, we quality controlled what we were able to do last year on offense, defense, and special teams. We'll get some things fixed, corrected, We'll look to improve on some things, and we'll look to add some new wrinkles to our processes in all three phases. And that's what spring is all about. It's great competition. We get to start competing and seeing guys compete for opportunities to play or create a role for themselves as we move into the 21 season. And I know I'm excited, and you know, we add 10 new players that are coming in addition to the returning members. And you know, we're starting to create the depth that we're going to need and the competition we'll need that will bring out the best of our team.
And then finally, I didn't hear anybody ask you about this, so I'll get it. The dance moves after the Penn State win, are we going to bring that back for every win? Can we get a Mike Locksley sort of dance after every win, or are they going to become too normal, so don't get that? That was my favorite video of the year, so I, you know, had to ask you about it.
Yeah, that's a big man's dance move. Stay down low, flail your arms around, and kind of just catch a beat, man. You know, it's better when it's not, you know, premeditated. You know, it's just kind of the energy level that. So I'm hoping our team gives me a reason and opportunity to dance after some wins, so I don't have a problem with catching a beat with the best of them.
Get a little dance move and then the fight song. That's what we need after every one. Coach, really appreciate you giving us some time and diving into a couple of subjects, and good luck with spring ball and all that's going to come with it. Appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot, Taylor.
Want to take the Terrapins with you wherever you go? Maryland Athletics has officially launched the One Maryland mobile app, a must-have for all Terps fans. The One Maryland app is a one-stop shop for all things Terps, featuring the latest news, scores, game day information, and exclusive content from your favorite Maryland teams. Download the One Maryland app on your iOS or Android device today by searching for Maryland Athletics in your device's app store. Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. Once again, thanks to the head coach of Maryland football, Michael Locksley, for jumping on with us. We always love having Coach Locks on. He's been great with his time for Hear the Turtle since he's become the head coach, and I'm sure we'll have him on again as we head towards the season. And as we said, make sure to go watch Game Changers. Right now, it's free. It will end up going behind a paywall, but make sure to check it out. An incredible piece, and once again, shout out to our video crew for getting that done. Keith, sports are just flying back into action here. But two specific things I think we can talk about on this Monday morning, coming off a big Sunday for both of our basketball programs. Brenda Freeze, 500 wins at Maryland. Speaking of someone Coach Locksley really likes, he gave a minute spiel on his Twitter about how much he appreciates Coach Freeze. But what an accomplishment. We've obviously had Brenda on this show 1,000 times, and she's been gracious with her time as well. And just an incredible winning tradition she's put together with Maryland Women's Basketball. We've highlighted a lot of that in our series about their 50 seasons, and it's a great milestone that this happens during such a historic year, because it shows the impact that Brenda's had over the last two decades. Just an incredible impact on this program, and it's just blowing Big Ten teams out right now. So she's kind of doing what she does every year.
I mean, 500 wins and no real sign of slowing down, Taylor. No. I mean, if she continues at this clip, I don't think 600, 700, you know, however long she wants to coach, you know, those type of marks aren't out of the question. You know, just how dominant they've been in the Big Ten, 10-1 this season. They won three straight, you know, five games left on the regular season schedule, it looks like, as of today. I don't know if they'll have any reschedulings or games added on before the Big Ten tournament, but they're once again primed to be right up there at the end of the regular season in that number one spot, and then, you know, hopefully another tournament title on the horizon for Brenda Freeze and her program.
I'm trying to make sure I get this stat right, so I'm counting it up on the schedule because I saw it this morning. They have scored 90 points in or more in 10 games this year, which leads the country. Needed to make sure it was 10, so I just counted it up real quickly. They are just scoring at a ridiculous clip, and the funny part is, you know, Brenda wins the 500th game yesterday at Maryland. It's awesome. She gets celebrated. Everyone comes out. They have bigger goals. I mean, they, you know, I think they've been disappointed by not making deeper runs in the tournament the last three or four years with some talented teams. And they want to go Elite Eight, Final Four, and they've got a team that can really score. And if they can get Angel Reese back, we hope that she's able to come back at some point, add another piece of depth to the interior. They're really, really potent offense, and if they can get it together more on the defensive side, I mean, they can play with anybody in the country. Our girl Katie Benson, who has joined this show earlier in the year, she can really shoot. I mean, we hadn't really seen much of her at that point. We had her on because all the games she played were for like not on a stream, and now getting the chance to watch her, what an exciting player at the sort of point guard and combo guard position. She's tremendous. So great job from them. And then the men's team gets a big win over Minnesota, Keith. Maybe the best 40 minutes of the year for Maryland men's basketball from top to bottom. Shot the ball very, very well, and was really up by double digits, really in the, you know, in the 14-15 range for most of proceedings. Got a little tight late. Aaron Wiggins makes a big shot to stretch the lead back out there and kind of put the naysayers to bed, who I think were coming out at the end to come after the guys. But a big win, and now when you look at Maryland men's basketball, Keith, you got to stack them now. You got to build on this one. You got the doubleheader, a Nebraska team that has one Big Ten win. You got to take care of business. And if they could get that Big Ten record up around 500, one game under maybe, if they can get it to 10-10, that's going to probably put you in the NCAA tournament. It's all there to do. They have the sort of the roadmap in front of them. Now you got to go get the wins.
You know, it's interesting. A couple of weeks back after Maryland's win against Purdue at home, Coach Turgeon said, we felt like we really had to have that one. You're playing a ranked team at home, and they're able to squeak out that 1-point win. And that game last night kind of had that same feeling, right? You kind of felt like to really make a run here down the stretch and finish strong, you needed to start it with this game against Minnesota at home. And Maryland's had Minnesota's number this year and over these past several years in the Big Ten. You know, they win at the Barn. I believe that's Minnesota's only loss at home this year. It was when Maryland won that 63-49 game when they were ranked 17th, the Gophers were, on January 23rd. And they come back with a pretty much wire-to-wire victory again, right? Got a little tight there, like you said, and Aaron Wiggins hits that massive, massive shot with a guy in his face and the shot clock winding down. But here we go, back-to-back games against Nebraska, Tuesday and Wednesday, making up that game that got postponed back in January. And then you've got Rutgers, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Penn State. I mean, these are all winnable games, teams that aren't ranked currently, that you know, you have to feel like if you're a Maryland fan, you've got a pretty good shot at you know, maybe going 5-1, maybe going 6-0 down the stretch if everything kind of turns out right. But it'll be an interesting test, back-to-back games against the same opponent, something that Maryland hasn't had happen since the 40s, I think. So a very unusual situation in this very unusual year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just going to be so interesting to see if the Terps can find that consistency that you're going to need to get the wins to get to the NCAA tournament. That's what's really been interesting. This has been a topsy-turvy year in college basketball in general, and for the Terps, who at times ride these crazy highs and then hit these crazy lows and then come back up and then come back down. They've got to figure out how to get to the end of the roller coaster, Keith, and just ride into the station, ride into the NCAA tournament stations. Let's put the brakes on. We've had our fun. We've had our loops. We've had our corkscrews. Into the station.
Wow. A train analogy on a Monday morning, Taylor. I see.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I think we all yearn to go back to amusement parks. Did I say amusement parks? Amusement parks.
I think you said amusement.
Talk about Monday morning.
Wait, so we all yearn to be back in amusement parks? Is that just like a general? Is that you, or is that?
That might
like
be a personal.
Society?
I would like to ride a roller coaster. I would like to ride a roller coaster at some point. We'll see.
That does sound pretty good. I won't lie. Yeah. But
not only basketball, sports all the way, all kinds of back. All these sports starting. I mean, we've got lacrosse teams back in action this weekend, soccer all back in action. Make sure you go back and listen to our episode with Kathy Reese and John Tillman talking about the beginning of the lacrosse season. You know, those two teams will contend for the national title. There's no doubt about that. The Fighting Sasha Sarovskis are back in action on Friday, talking about a program that likes to contend for national titles. Missy Maharik's program's coming back. We're on the precipice of a baseball schedule. Rob Vaughn's team getting a lot of preseason buzz as a potential NCAA regional team. So it's all kicking off, Keith. I think you and I have seen each other for like 8 straight days. So that's when you know.
That. Yeah, but you know that's good. I'm here for that. You know, yes. In person, you know, you forget about those moments and those passings, and that's the sign of the season starting back up. So it's a good thing.
Absolutely, and make sure to listen to Hear the Turtle as we go through all of it. We will continue to try to get all the rest of the coaches on, and then as people find success, we are going to have them on Hear the Turtle. And make sure to go listen to all of our offerings associated with a lot of these Terrapin Club Plus shows. Talk to Raynell Jones about Home. Talk to Aaron Wiggins about Anyone Can. Talk to Steve Suter about his Behind the Play, and watch that stuff. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, it's everywhere. So umterps.com/plus is kind of your central hub, but you can find them in a lot of different places right now as we head towards some great, great content from our video staff on that one. That's enough for this week's episode of Hear the Turtle. Make sure to follow us on our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter and at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. You can follow Sneds311 if you would like to keep up on with Keith. And Keith, we do quickly, now I'm thinking about your Twitter, I'm thinking about Twitter. We have to give a quick ode to longtime AP Sports writer Dave Ginsburg.
Oh,
final
no
game at Maryland Sunday night. A guy that you and I have worked with since we were interns at Maryland, as two PR interns at Maryland. And so many people, if you have watched the Terps for the last three decades, you have read Dave Ginsburg. You probably don't know you have, but you have. If you've read the ESPN recap after a game in that little section, you've read them. If you are, you know, from another city and you read a recap that was in your local newspaper, that's probably Dave's AP story. A consummate pro, a total class act, a Maryland grad who loves Maryland basketball and loves Maryland sports, and treats everyone, even us, I just remember as interns, Keith, treated us so well, and now, you know, treats all of us well. And we'll always let you know if you have a typo in your game notes. So
that's
Ben,
right.
Ben, you and Kess and Sean Allenby are all now off the hook, and Dustin from Dave's reviews. But you guys did an awesome job to recognize him yesterday, Keith, the gift, and very cool.
Yeah, you know, during a normal season, you have your halftime shows, your halftime recognitions. People are coming back. You're showing Bruno Fernando and Kevin Herter and all these people on the video board. And at these home games this year, it's just been a very bare bones operation, right? You don't have all that same fanfare. So to be able to recognize Dave last night for the, you know, 100 or so, 50 or so people that are in the building, was really cool. It was definitely special to him. And you know, here's a guy who's covered Super Bowls, you know, Cal Ripken's, you know, streak, some of the biggest stories, not only in, you know, Baltimore and Maryland sports, but, you know, just around the country of the past few decades. And his favorite all-time, you know, memory, favorite all-time event to cover was the 2002 National Championship for Maryland men's basketball. So that just kind of shows you what kind of guy Dave is.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, you know, if you're a Ravens fan who listens to this show, I mean, he, all the best Ravens moments, covered them all. Orioles the last, you know, 20 to 30 years, as you said, the Ripken streak. When we would go to Orioles games, Keith, we would, like, that press box is really low and you can get up to it without having to go in it. And he would just be in that front row. We'd just go up and, oh, Gins, there he is. Just everywhere. Yeah. So shout out to Gins. He deserves a very fun and enjoyable retirement. So had to give him a shout out before he finished off. And then after that, I guess you can follow me on TaylorSmite10. I'm going to do that on Twitter. You can follow Gins at Ginzy3, ZY3. I don't know if he'll be tweeting much in retirement, but you can follow him if you want. And we will see you next time on Hear the Turtle, presented by Twitter.
Go Terps.